Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Our guest on the Soapbox today is former Democratic Congresswoman from Georgia and Green Party candidate for president. She's currently and always a peace and social justice advocate, and she's a good friend of my own and our Soapbox. Our guest today is the Honorable Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
I've been missing you, Cindy.
Yeah, we've been missing you, and I hope you felt
so all I'm the glad good to be on with you today.
And I hope you felt all the good energy we were sending you.
Yes, you absolutely. I hope you can hear it in my voice.
Yeah, much better, much better. Okay, well, as most of my listeners know, and as I introduced you, you ran for president in 2008 as the Green Party candidate. You and your vice presidential candidate, Rosa Clemente, who's been on the show also, and of course I supported you because your platform and your life is much closer to me than, of course, one of the corporate Democrats. So we're going to go over some things that have come up or either were present when Obama became president and see how your perspective on how he's handled it and how you would handle it differently.
Okay, let's see if we can, if I can do that.
Okay, well, we're going to go, I think almost in, not in order of importance, but in chronological order, I think, as close as I could. So this Sunday is going to be, or this weekend, there's going to be massive demonstrations, I hope, across the country because it's going to be the 8th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. And if you were president of the United States in my dream scenario, what would you have done differently than Obama has done, inheriting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, actually, unfortunately, the Democratic president has not only inherited the Republican wars, he has expanded them. And so I don't like to say, okay, well, he inherited, because as president, one can always turn the spigot off the money funding.
Right.
And that never happened. And, in fact, now we've got more people dying under the as a result of the drone attacks from Yemen and Somalia to even this president took drones to Haiti after the earthquake. So if what would I have done differently? Well, we wouldn't be pressing the button. We wouldn't have our young men and women pressing the button, sending people to their death with these war toys. And in fact, our young men and women from all of the bases all over the world would be packing their bags, and by now they would have been home. And of course, this is so important. I think our generation, or certainly the generation before us, learned very clearly economics 101, and that is that you can't satisfy the people's needs if you're financing a hungry war machine.
That's
so
right.
Either we're going to respond to the needs of the people, or we're going to respond to the tapeworm that is the war machine. And unfortunately, President Obama has served the interests of the war machine instead of the people's interests. You can say that pretty much across the board on every sector, from energy policy, labor policy, education, certainly health care, infrastructure. Across the board, the needs of communities and individuals and families have been neglected at the expense of the special interests and the war machine.
Well, you did answer partially another one of my questions, is that if we would bring the troops home and close many, if not all, of the bases around the world, then we would have money to create jobs that were paid a living wage, not a minimum wage, and fulfill the people's needs. And that's certainly bringing our troops home and seriously cutting funding to the Pentagon and the Defense Department would go a long way towards making a healthy economy here in the United States, not just in the United States, but around the world.
You're absolutely right. Cindy, you know, one of the things that I failed to mention that I should have mentioned is just that you can't remember everything all right. the time.
Right.
But the war machine is fed by the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party. And in my particular instance, in 2006, when I was running for re-election to the Congress, I was a sure no vote. And this was at a time when you were out there making a racket so that the members of Congress were really, really, really afraid of the people's actions. And we really had the opportunity to stop feeding the war machine. The vote was a very close vote.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2007, when I was not there and had been replaced by someone who had been recruited by the new mayor of Chicago,
right.
And the excuse reportedly was that I was not a team player, and so this was the Democrats that were eating me,
mm-hmm.
not the Republicans, although Republicans have subsequently had more than their lunch. But the bill to fund the war passed with exactly 18 votes. So that means that had I been there to cast my no vote, we would be having a different discussion right now, Cindy.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on to the next aspect. If you were president and... who would be your attorney general, and would you would your Department of Justice be vigorously prosecuting the war criminals and criminals against our Constitution that were in the previous administration, particularly John Yoo?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, except that University of California, I understand, and since you're out there in California, you can tell me, but I think, didn't they hire him, and now he's teaching other young lawyers to be?
Yeah,
hopefully not how to evade the law. But in terms of who my attorney general would be, I mean, you know, that depends on that person's willingness to serve. But the first person that I would ask would be Ralph Nader.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, at least he's the first person who comes to my mind
mm-hmm.
that I think would just be absolutely wonderful there, or, you know, maybe even on the Supreme Court. We could have Ralph Nader on the Supreme Court. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be. And we know that the Obama administration, the Obama administration hasn't been prosecuting the criminals of the Bush administration. They've, in fact, been protecting them.
You're absolutely right, and this was one of my very, very first frustrations with the Obama administration. Well, I can't say that because there have been so many, but the idea that I know that when people went to the polls in November 2008 that they were on this idea of hope and change, that they really were voting for peace, and they were voting for an end to the war, and they were voting for a focus on the needs of average, ordinary American families, and they didn't get any of that. Instead, they got the Attorney General sending his minions into U.S. courts to defend the illegal and unconstitutional actions of the previous administration.
Right.
So it was absolutely, what a disappointment. But you see, those were among the very, very first moves of the administration. And so if there were anybody, if there was anybody who thought that there was going to be change, that should have been the signal, well, buddy, maybe we better redefine our use of the word change.
Oh, for sure. Well, okay, let's move on to the – there's been so many things in just a little over 2 years that I know you would have handled differently and I know I would have handled differently. But this is giving, you know, my listeners an idea that there is a better way to do things. And one thing that happened just like maybe days or a week after President Obama came out strongly in favor of offshore drilling, we had the biggest environmental disaster in, I don't know, in the world, but certainly the United States, when the drilling platform exploded in the Gulf of Mexico and just spewed millions and millions of gallons of oil into petroleum or whatever, into the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, I think the handling, the Obama's handling of it was abominable. What would you have done differently?
Yes, Obama the abomination. Well, first of all, we should draw lessons from previous experiences. And Hurricane Katrina was certainly an experience for all of us from which we should have drawn many lessons. And then immediately after Hurricane Katrina, of course, you know, we had Hurricane Rita to come. And the offshore oil rigs were particularly, I don't want to say targeted, but they were the ones that weren't damaged in Hurricane Katrina were further damaged in after Hurricane Rita. And so this would have given us an opportunity to sit down and just look at our energy policy. Right now, war is our energy policy. And so we could say, okay, what is it that we need in order to satisfy our energy needs, and how can we get there in a way that is sustainable? That would have been the moment at which we should have declared ourselves committed to sustainable energy. Instead, this administration could have learned those lessons from the Bush administration and acted differently with respect to offshore drilling, with respect to even the furtherance of the war machine as a proxy for an energy policy, it's done nothing even in terms of our dependency on fossil fuels. And, you know, even in our transportation policy, for example, we could have promoted the use of green cars, hybrids, of course, but eventually moving toward the total electric and mass transportation for sure we would want to use. And then we also need to encourage bicycling. And, in fact, as I am off to Oregon to Cyclotopia to pick up my new bicycle, I have to pump bicycling as well. And so there's so many things that we could be doing that are positive, that are good in terms of promoting health for individuals, promoting the health of our economy and the health of our country, but instead we go down these same old, tired, worn-out, hackneyed old policies that really don't work, except that they serve the interests of a very select few. And instead of serving the common good, these policies that are being pursued by the Obama administration serve the special interests, and therefore we can't even the chasm between serving the people's interests and serving the special interests is so large now that I think only the blind could fail to see that the Obama administration is doing a wonderful job at
right.
serving the special interests and leaving the people behind.
Well, you know, speaking of that, of course, the U.S. needs a more comprehensive and more sustainable energy policy, but the people in the Gulf region are still, it's not over, the disaster's not over. Okay, well, Cynthia, let's go on to the next, what I consider a big thing that Obama has totally mishandled. Even though he is protecting the criminals of the Bush administration, he is they're severely trying to prosecute Private Bradley Manning, who is allegedly the one who leaked the information to WikiLeaks about U.S. foreign policy. What do you think about that?
Well, this is particularly tragic that whistleblowers, I was just reading an article about the whistleblower tradition inside the United States that's absent in the culture of Japan, and therefore TEPCO, the electric company over in Japan that runs the nuclear reactors that are now in flames, had many, many grievous mistakes and lapses, but they didn't have that tradition of whistleblowers. Now, we don't even know if Bradley Manning is a whistleblower. So, you know, he's been accused.
Right.
But the president has affirmed in very much the same way that Donald Rumsfeld affirmed that torture was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here now, if there was any doubt before that our president had become part of the bad guys, certainly his public affirmation and support for the way Bradley Manning has been treated, which amounts to torture, is reprehensible and should make the president accountable by international law and by U.S. law.
Well, that's one thing. I was down in Redlands, California, speaking this weekend, and even though 99% of the people who were there were, you know, on board with me, there was just a few people who were still adamant supporters of Barack Obama, and that's what I told them. I said, if you don't have a line that you're going to draw and say, you know, we don't support you, we don't support what you're doing anymore, Bradley Manning should have been that line. And it's just amazing to me that people still keep making excuses for him.
Well, you know, Cindy, what is the power of a dream deferred, you know, if I can use the language of a raisin in the sun?
Mm-hmm.
But for many people, it has been a dream to have a black man in the White House. It has been a dream. And so it's really hard to move people when they think that they've got their dream. They think that the United States that they marched for, many of them are veterans of the Civil Rights Movement, and I remember watching the faces of people in Germany as they were literally crying when candidate Obama went over to Germany, kind of replicating the John Kennedy moment. And people really thought that the United States had turned a different page.
Mm-hmm.
And people still want to think that. I did a radio interview yesterday over in London, and these were with blacks in London, and one of the questions they asked me was, well, you know, you're black, and he's black, and, you know, why do you criticize him? And my response was, because in politics, I care about a public policy result.
Right.
And politics is not a popularity contest. I've said this too many times, so many times I'm tired of saying it now. It's not a beauty contest. It's about power. And it's about the people's interest versus those who would subvert our vote and represent their own personal interests. And it happens over and over and over again. And basically what they do is they take the hopes and the dreams of people and they screw them. So when I get asked this question, well, Barack Obama is black and you're black and you need to be quiet.
Right.
And I say, well, people are still dying. And, you know, this is exactly the Dr. Martin Luther King moment, because there was a moment when Dr. King, getting the Civil Rights Act, getting the Voting Rights Act, getting the Fair Housing Act, I mean, there were things that were in progress. And so Dr. King did not have to turn his view toward the violence that was being perpetrated by the United States in Vietnam. And in fact, he was criticized by the civil rights community, who they said that for him, that, you know, we're winning, we don't need to mess with over there. And Dr. King said,
right,
I've been fighting segregation too long to segregate my moral concerns. He also further went on to say to those people who felt that they had to go along and get along with the administration, despite the clear and obvious crimes that were being committed against the Vietnamese people, and against our own people, and against our own souls, as it were. He told them, you go ahead, but I'm going to do this. And he did, and of course we all know what happened. So for those who say that it's inconvenient to criticize President Obama, I say that to do anything other than to stand for what politics is all about in the first place, which is that public policy result, is to practice the politics of self-abnegation. And I'm not into that.
Right.
I might as well go sit under a coconut tree and have fun.
Well, my dream, of course, was to have a black woman in the White House. And hopefully, you know, that dream won't be deferred too long. Cynthia, we're running out of time, but tell my listeners, everybody always asks me, what's Cynthia up to? What are her plans? Tell my listeners what you're doing, how they can reach you, how they can support your work, what you're doing right now.
Well, I am basically traveling. I'm outside of the country as much as I'm inside.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and, you know, 2012, some decisions need to be made now with respect to that. And I'm just trying to understand if I have a role to play in 2012. Right. And, of course, I'd love to hear from folks, and they can reach me at my name, Cynthia, at runcynthiarun.org, and send me an email and tell me what you think I ought to do. I'm back in Georgia now with my mother, and I hear from people here Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are the people, I don't take that as a representative sample.
Right.
So people have to be willing to finance the revolution that they want. And running for office, as you very well know, Cindy,
yeah.
it's not a game. It's
no.
not a joke. It's very serious business, and it has to be financed. So if people are willing to see my kind of advocacy back out there on the stump, then send me an email and let me know that, and then we'll talk about things in a few months.
Cynthia at runcynthiarun.org?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we'll put that on my website, too, and we'll hopefully get some great feedback.
Okay, well, Cindy, it's been too long.
I know.
And I want to do something with you. You know, I felt so like we just need to sit at in front of the White House and just sit, listen like you did in Crawford, Texas.
Well, and I did it in front of the White House a couple times in 2010, too. So
that's right. Piece of the action.
So let's get together soon, Cynthia. And thank you, as always, for being our guest. We love
okay.
you.
Okay.
Well, that was Cynthia McKinney. Please contact her at Cynthia@runcynthiarun.org. That's the show for today. I'd like to thank our engineer, Scott Cuddy, my producer, Mikey, my webmaster, Rich Bowser. I'd like to thank you for listening and Cynthia for being our guest. I'm Cindy Sheehan, and you've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Thank you.
Yeah, but it's a fact that I'm the seventh son. Up on a biscuit, sugar. Take our sweet little time about it. I like to see that they want you before they go. have a bone of biscuit sugar. Yeah, take a sweet little time about it. Hey! Let's have a bone. Yeah, take a sweet little time about it. Daddy in the place to just get out in. Come on, we can clean together, and I'll find this all back right.